wasn't confident in guessing which one of those was more likely, and more to the point, which one gave me less anxiety. His eyes connected with mine as the noise continued around us.
"I'm asking you to come to the wedding with me."
I sighed, the conflict making my skin itch. I wanted to say yes, to say that I would love to go as his plus one to what would probably be a beautiful wedding. Not to mention it wasn't every day, unless you counted right now, that I got to sneak into a movie star's private celebration. I imagined it would be an amazing day, followed by an even more spectacular night. But, deep down I knew I was inviting trouble. Going to weddings was something you did with a boyfriend. Clutching the arm of that special someone while basking in the love around you? Maybe you imagined what it might be like when it's your turn, or even daydream about catching the bouquet. And while I knew this was the closest I'd been to a relationship in months, even if I had fallen into it accidentally, I was cautious about getting the wrong idea. Not just me, but everyone else. His mother was already teary-eyed over Roman bringing home a girl, and his brothers were too nice for words. Did they assume that one day that might be us? I had enough expectations of my own I needed to live up to. I wasn't sure I wanted to disappoint what was probably one of the nicest families I'd ever met.
"Roman, what are you doing?" I squeezed his hand, knowing I was possibly making a mistake.
"I'm asking you to be my date for my brother's wedding," he squeezed back. "It doesn't have to be a big deal."
"Just go to the wedding," my subconscious screamed at me. "Like he said, it doesn't have to be a big deal."
"What if I say no?"
"Then I'll go by myself," he shrugged. "I'm not in the habit of having women bound and gagged, although with you I wouldn't rule it out." He tapped me on the nose.
There was a sincerity in his voice and in his eyes that tugged at my heart. It disarmed me, and for a second, I'd forgotten everything that had come before that moment, and what might come after. I forgot about what it might or could mean, and let go.
"Thank you. I'd love to come." I said it before I realized, the words surprising me as they left my lips.
"Good."
He gave me a satisfied smile.
"But if you want me to bind and gag you, I'm still up for that."
I shook my head, feeling more thrilled than I probably should. "How about I bind and gag you instead?" I felt myself smile. "That might be fun, actually." He laughed, brushing my knuckle with a kiss before leaning in and whispering,
"Not a chance, Harper."
Chapter 20. I hadn't caved.
As tempting as it was to give in to Roman and spend the night with him after we left the rehearsal dinner, I didn't. Instead, I insisted he bring me home where I spent the night alone. Not because I was angry about his little stunt, springing his family on me unprepared. And it wasn't just to prove a point, although that was a nice fringe benefit. It was because I needed a night just to get my head around what the hell I was doing, and more to the point, what I wanted to do. He made it clear my decision to spend the night alone displeased him, but he didn't fight me after he dropped me at home. Instead, he kissed me goodbye and told me he'd be back in the afternoon. Tia and Eric's wedding was at dusk in the same backyard we had dinner in the night before.
"Isn't today your day off?"
I looked up from painting my nails on the couch to see Morgan in her scrubs.
"Yeah, but they're short-staffed, so I'm going to go cover for a few hours."
She grabbed her handbag and phone.
"You spending the day with Roman?"
"Yes," I blew on my fingers, trying to look casual.
"I'm going to his brother's wedding."
"Hmm, brother's wedding, huh?" She didn't even try and hide the smugness.
"But you're not dating or anything."
I know, I held up a hand. "Save the judgment. We can discuss my stupidity at lunch tomorrow. Roman is taking us out."
"Ooh, Roman is taking us out."
She gave a little shoulder shimmy with a silly look on her face, like she was enjoying making me squirm.
"Can I be the concerned sister and ask him what his intentions are?"
My look of warning did nothing to wipe the grin off her face.
"No, you cannot."
She groaned, pouting at the door.
Fine. Be boring. Have fun at the wedding. I'll expect all the details tomorrow.
It was my turn to groan as I waved her goodbye. While I had never intentionally broken privilege, if I didn't tell her about what I dubbed the Larson connection soon, I was going to explode. It's not like I would tell her about my legal involvement, and it wasn't like she was going to tell anyone else. Tomorrow, I would talk to Roman today and explain to him how important it was that I tell my sister. Assure him that we could trust her, and his connection to his famous brother would never be revealed. At least, not by us. A long, deep breath slowly eased out. It was one less thing to worry about, so now I could have a nervous breakdown over a more pressing issue, like, what the hell was I supposed to wear? Was there a particular outfit that was suitable when going to the wedding of a famous person you barely knew, whose brother you were sort of dating and you'd handled the bride's prenup? Little black dress, maybe? Or was it more a floral maxi dress? Ugh, at least I had a few hours to stare blankly at my wardrobe before I needed to make a decision either way. An emerald green cocktail dress was what I ended up deciding on. Not too flashy, not too formal, and hopefully nothing that would draw any undue attention to myself. Then there was the issue of a gift, not the easiest thing to organize when you had zero time and had no idea what to even get. I very much doubted they were registered at Macy's, but I couldn't go empty-handed either. So, against my better judgment, the one that said they wouldn't need anything I could afford, I made a quick trip to Target and got a toaster oven. Because I didn't care how much money you had, when you got the munchies at 2 in the morning and the maid has gone home for the day, you were going to need a freaking toaster oven to heat up frozen pizza bites.
You ready?
Roman walked through my door looking amazing, in a charcoal suit that should have been illegal. I thought I'd seen everything in his designer arsenal, but clearly he'd been saving this one for a special occasion. I hate this suit, I lied, taking a minute to appreciate my view, the urge to play with his tie too strong as my fingers adjusted it. It makes your ass look hideous. He laughed, his hand settling on my hips.
Good. I'd hate for someone to be staring at my ass all night long, especially with my mother around. What kind of sick pervert would do that anyway?
It would have been easy to drag him into my bedroom and unwrap him one delicious designer label at a time, but I didn't want to make us late. I tugged at his arm, moving him to my kitchen table where the present sat beautifully wrapped. Can you help me get this into the car, or are your muscles decorative?
What the hell is it?
He looked at the box with suspicion, turning it around even though it was covered in shiny silver paper and a big white bow.
I got them a present.
I figured it was self-explanatory, but clearly it wasn't. I wasn't going to your brother's wedding without getting them something. He shook his head, looking amused.
You didn't have to do that. You're going as my guest, and I already got them some investment bonds.
Wow, investment bonds, I deadpanned, not at all shocked he would have gotten them a practical present. Are you trying to bore them to death before their first anniversary? He picked up the box, weighing it in his hands.
And what did you get them?
I straightened, feeling proud of myself. It's a toaster oven, and they are going to love it.
You got them a toaster oven?
His smile mocked me as an eyebrow rose.
A kitchen appliance?
His mocking did nothing to ruin my sense of achievement. I sure did. It's a Cuisinart and fits a whole 12-inch pizza. And I loved it so much, I even got one for myself. I pointed to the large box on the kitchen counter. They can eat years' worth of midnight snacks while they are waiting for your stupid bonds to mature. Now, we better get out of here or we're going to be late. He rolled his eyes, holding the box as I gave him a friendly shove to the door. We took the elevator this time, his eyes restless as they roamed on me until we got to the bottom floor and walked out to his car. The lack of trunk space in the Ferrari meant I had to balance the box on my knee until we got to Eric's huge mansion. It was useful for making sure I kept my hands to myself, so at least we weren't late. Roman parked at the front like we had the night before, his brother Dave greeting us as we stepped out of the car.
What's in the box?
He took it from my hands, giving me the chance to climb out of the passenger seat as Roman came around to my side. He tapped the present in Dave's hand before putting his arm around me.
A toaster oven. Sweet.
He nodded, grinning as he carried it into the house. I elbowed Roman in the ribs as we followed Dave up the stairs. See? Someone appreciates my genius. Roman gripped me tighter as he leaned in.
That's because he still lives like he's in a frat house.
I heard that, asshole, Dave called from over his shoulder.
And yet, Roman laughed, you didn't deny it.
Dave pointed us out to the backyard while he disappeared with the present. In the short time since we'd last been at Eric's house, it had been transformed from a beautiful backyard into a stunning outdoor venue. Large white canopies had been erected, with more of that polished wooden floor being placed on the grass, the area covered in pastel-colored roses and large white calla lilies. White chairs had been set up in two neat rows, with a white aisle runner separating to two halves that led to a huge fairy light-lit arch.
Wow, it looks beautiful. My eyes floated as they absorbed every tiny detail of the storybook scene.
Roman's hand pressed on the small of my back as we moved to the chairs, people already sitting down and talking as soft music played.
You want to take a seat? I'm just going to check on Eric.
Yes, yes, of course. I waved him off, too busy looking at all the tiny details to worry about whether he was sitting next to me right then. Tell him to break a leg, or whatever.
Oh, look what they did to the pool!
I pointed to the tiny floating lanterns that bobbed on the dark blue surface. He glanced over, shaking his head, he gave me a quick kiss.
I'll be back.
As he left, I settled into my seat, amazed by how at ease I felt. It could possibly be the two glasses of wine I'd had between my mercy dash to Target and getting ready for the wedding. Or maybe I was becoming desensitized to being around Roman and how crazy it seemed. He wasn't as terrible anymore, his arrogance no longer abrasive. And even some of the traits I'd once found obnoxious and annoying now seemed endearing and sort of cute. I liked spending time with him, was excited by the way he challenged me, and loved that he didn't treat me like a glass doll that needed to be set on a pedestal. If I didn't know better, I wasn't sure how much of my feelings were wine-related, I would assume I was starting to have feelings for Roman. Feelings where I didn't want to kill or maim him.
Boyfriend feelings.
Shit.
I tried to distract myself, looking around at the people sitting down and seeing if I recognized anyone. There were a few familiar faces, people I'd seen from the night before. Tia's brother-in-law was chatting to Tia's younger sister, who had flown in from Paris, both of them oblivious to my staring. Roman came back to sit beside me.
Did I miss anything?
The blonde, who I'm positive is famous, is pregnant. She keeps brushing her hand over her belly, and her man is hovering over her like a bodyguard. I discreetly pointed to the blonde couple who looked photoshopped before continuing. That guy toward the back is security but pretending to be a guest. He has an earpiece and a bulge in his back that is possibly a gun. That woman beside your mom, who I assume is your aunt, is annoyed she didn't wear her waterproof mascara and has been dabbing her eyes and retouching her foundation every few minutes. And I think your brother Alex is trying to hit on Tia's younger sister. She's being polite, but isn't interested. That was all I had for now, but I was sure that I might get a few other interesting bits and pieces before the bride made an appearance.
And did you find out if it was Professor Plum who killed Mrs. Peacock in the library with the candlestick?
Roman laughed, resting his arm on the back of my chair.
You're here for a wedding, not to assess a jury pool.
Sorry, old habits. I turned to him, sidelining my people-watching for a while. How's your brother doing? Is he nervous? Roman shook his head.
Nope, he's been waiting for this for a while. Tia, on the other hand, is in a bathroom upstairs throwing up. I think Leela has given her a Xanax.
Well, it's a big deal, walking out in front of all these people. I pointed to the 50 or 60 gathered friends and family. I'm pretty sure I'd be throwing up, too.
Funny, I didn't take you for the marrying type.
He rubbed his chin like he was deep in thought.
You're not getting sentimental on me, are you, Harper?
No, I scoffed, waving my hands like he had said the most ridiculous thing ever, because it was the most ridiculous thing ever. I didn't even want a serious relationship, let alone get married. A husband was the last thing I needed, not if I intended to make partner at some point. Marriage would only complicate things. So why was it that the idea didn't seem so bad anymore? Like, maybe if I found someone who was like-minded and supportive, that it would be possible to have both. I don't know. It might work out, right? Nope, no marriage for me, I assured him, the words for the first time ever sounding uncomfortable in my mouth. I just meant, if I was to lose my mind and agree to spend the rest of my life with one guy, that it might be nerve-wracking to promise that in front of an audience of people. He looked like he was about to say something, but as his mouth opened, the music got louder. An excited hush fell over the crowd as people hustled to their seats. Eric's parents and Tia's mother made their way down the aisle, saying quiet and excited hellos as they shuffled to their chairs. Next came Eric and his best man, Ryan, both of them looking breathtaking in matching black suits. They walked casually to the front of the arch, where they chatted to the waiting celebrant, Eric occasionally turning and flashing one of his movie star heartthrob grins. Then, the music stopped, the break only for a minute before the familiar strains of Canon in D were piped through the speakers. Tia's niece and nephew walked out first, both looking adorable as they almost ran to where their parents were sitting. And then came Leela, Tia's best friend and maid of honor, floating down the aisle in a gorgeous lavender gown. There was a collective gasp as Tia stepped out. Wearing a simple but stunning lace dress, she looked like a princess on the arm of her dad. She smiled as she walked past, slowly edging her way to Eric, who hadn't taken his eyes off her. She was probably the most beautiful bride I'd ever seen, radiant and in love, and Eric looked like a man who would wage a war just to make her happy. I never cried at weddings. Never felt that tug at my heart. But as the service started, I felt my eyes water with a constant flutter in my belly as they exchanged vows and promised each other forever. I hadn't wanted that for myself, so why did it make me so goddamn emotional? Roman looked over, but I forced a grin and pretended to be as unaffected as he seemed to be, keeping my feelings locked down until Eric finally kissed his bride. A sigh of relief spilled from my body as they walked back up the aisle as husband and wife. The happy couple heading off to take some photos while waiters circled with large silver trays of drinks and canapés. And if there was ever a time I needed a drink, it was right now. The effects of those two wines had long diminished. Thirsty? Roman nodded to my hands, a champagne flute housed in each. It's hot out, and I don't want to dehydrate. I took a gulp from one, hoping the alcohol might do something about this affliction making me feel things. Nope. I still felt weepy and emotional. Better take another gulp. Roman took one of the empty glasses from my hand and replaced it with some water. You might want to slow down if you want to make it to dinner. I would hate to find you floating in the pool with all the pretty lights. My head nodded, knowing that getting drunk wouldn't be wise when I was feeling so unpredictable. I think I might find a bathroom and freshen up a little. The heat, I waved lamely as I excused myself. The furrow of his brow told me he was suspicious, but he didn't stop me. I left him and the majority of the guests outside and wandered into the back of the house. There were a few people in the kitchen, mainly in white outfits relining their trays with more food and drink, while a few guests loitered in the large open area I assumed was a casual living room. A helpful man, who I was positive was security, directed me to a bathroom toward the back of the hall, my heels clicking on the floor as I power-walked to it. I'd barely got the door closed when I turned and threw up. Heat traveled up my body as I sunk to my knees and retched again. It was the second time Roman Pierce had evoked that kind of reaction, and only one of those times did I know it was because I didn't hate him. No, this was so much worse than hate. Oh my God, was I falling in love with him? My body shook as I gripped the edges of the porcelain, trying to fight the urge to be sick again as feelings and thoughts tumbled in my head. This wasn't supposed to happen, and more to the point, how did I let it happen? I had to stop it, had to find a way to go back to hating him,
Or at the very least, figure out a way to calm my fucking idiot heart that had somehow decided he was the guy I wanted a future with.
Just take me now, Lord, I whispered in the dark. Let's just end it here, so I don't have to go out there and face him.
He would know. He would take one look at me and know exactly what I was feeling. And there was no way I could risk that. I stood slowly, looking at myself in the mirror as I cupped water from the faucet and brought it to my mouth. I had some mints in my purse and was able to fix my makeup so at least it wouldn't be obvious the thought of being in love with Roman Pierce had driven me to puke. Just go out there, laugh, and then go home and screw his brains out. I nodded to myself in the mirror. Remind yourself you are just having sex, and being in love is for suckers. I flipped myself off, believing none of the words. Not the ones I'd spoken out loud at the mirror, nor the ones that were looping around in my head trying to convince myself that I didn't have feelings. Of all the terrible times to have an epiphany, a bathroom at the wedding of people you barely knew was probably the worst. I had psyched myself up enough to leave and stepped back into the hall when I heard voices coming toward me.
Pray to the Viking gods, Leela. Pray to all of them.
The bride, not looking so radiant, came storming toward me.
Oh, hey, Leela waved, carrying Tia's veil as she trailed behind. We just need the bathroom, real quick, bride emergency, and all that.
They shuffled past me, locking themselves in the bathroom as I stood outside, slightly puzzled. The familiar sound of vomit followed soon after.
You would think the nerves would have ended once the formalities were over, right?
But if the activity in the bathroom was anything to go by, someone was still feeling stressed. I had a terrible track record with bathrooms, I'd decided.
Are you okay?
I knocked on the door. Once again, divine intervention had thrown me a distraction when I was having my crisis.
Yep, all good.
Leela's voice floated from inside, Tia too busy being sick to answer for herself. I didn't care what Leela was saying. There was nothing about this situation that was all good. Me having feelings for Roman? Not good. Tia puking in a bathroom after she married the man of her dreams? Not good. Which was why, instead of minding my own business and going back to the party where I would have to pretend I wasn't falling in love with a man, I was staying right where I was, talking to two women I barely knew through a bathroom door. The door slowly opened, Leela stepping out holding Tia's veil in her hand with the pale, veilless bride following her out.
Stomach flu? I offered, even though I was almost positive it wasn't.
You can't say one word. Tia's head shook. Not one word, especially to Roman.
Yeah, I thought so.
I took a deep breath, my back straightening as I looked at her in the eyes. Tia, you seem to have forgotten that I'm your lawyer. Even if I wanted to, which I don't, I couldn't say anything to anyone. Not to Roman, not to Eric, and not to those Viking gods you were praying to when you stormed in.
Leela and Tia glanced at each other, the unspoken, I think we can trust her, being debated as we stood there in silence.
Tia nodded to the hallway.
We need to take this upstairs.
I followed wordlessly, climbing the stairs while the noise of the wedding got further away as we made it to the second floor. Tia led us to a bedroom, closing the door once we were all inside.
I'm 2 weeks late. I think I'm pregnant, and I'm freaking the fuck out.
She paced, her fingers holding the hem of her dress so she didn't step on the lace. Cue my complete lack of surprise. Vomiting, looking pale, secret meeting with your bestie in a bathroom. It had been my first guess, even without her confirmation.
Okay, and are you worried about what Eric is going to say? I asked as I watched her wring her hands.
Part of my job was to ask questions, to find out the problem and the best possible defense. And while this wasn't a court case, if I understood exactly what was worrying her, I was confident we could find a solution.
I know what you're thinking. She waved her hands in the air. What's the big deal? We love each other, we're married, so maybe the timing is off, but it's not the end of the world. But it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And I didn't plan this.
She took a gasp of air, her breath running out as she spoke with limited pauses.
Eric just signed on to do a movie that will have him away for months, and they are shooting in remote locations that I couldn't go to even if I wanted to. This movie? It's his chance for an Oscar. She took another breath. And I know he will turn it down if he can't be here during the pregnancy, or possibly miss the birth of his first child. The timing is all wrong, and he will end up hating me forever.
Tia,
he won't hate you. Leela tried to find some reason. Maybe he can work something out with the director. Maybe he can work the filming schedule and fly back in between. Tia shook her head, shooting down every scenario. You know him. He will tell me there is nothing more important than his family, which is exactly what I'd want to hear. But I know that there will be a part of him that will fester because of it.
Have you done a pregnancy test? My question made them stop and look at me.
Because you could be worrying for no reason.
Tia spoke slowly.
I'm late, and I've been throwing up. I'm on the pill, but I know that thing isn't foolproof. She started pacing again. I mean, look at him. The man has a smile that could get you pregnant. Honestly, I'm surprised it's taken this long.
I was with her on that. I'd known those Larson boys were trouble. And as horrible as it was to think, I was glad it wasn't my uterus that had been the casualty. Roman's smile was just as potent. It's a wonder we all weren't sporting matching bumps.
Okay, we're going to do a test and find out. I grabbed her hands and tried to coax her to sit down on the bed.
What, like now?
Tia's eyes got wide, flashing with panic.
If I don't go down there soon, Eric is going to know something is up. I can't disappear on my wedding day. And what are we supposed to do? Send someone to run to CVS and get a test?
You guys can't leave either. It will look suspicious. He'll find out.
Breathe, Tia. Leela held her hand, sucking in air and blowing out slowly in an effort to get her friend to do the same.
You go down there. Act normal. I pulled out my phone from my purse. I'm going to call my sister. She's a nurse, and we can trust her. Not to mention that if Tia's suspicions were correct, she could help me talk her off the ledge. Morgan was amazing like that, which was why she was so good at her job.
She can bring us the test, no one has to leave, and we'll arouse as little suspicion as possible. When she gets here, you excuse yourself, we meet up back in your bedroom and find out once and for all.
It was the perfect plan, and more importantly, all we could do right now, considering we were in the middle of a wedding and options were limited.
Tia shook her head, not looking convinced.
I don't know.
Trust me, this is what we need to do. I delegated as I hesitated on Morgan's number.
Leela, help clean her up and get her back to the party. I'll come find you when we are ready.
I stepped out into the hall to give them some privacy and found another room, the door closing.
Please, Morgan, be home.
Chapter 21.
Halo, everything okay? I thought you were at a wedding with Roman.
My ever-dependable sister answered right away.
Morgan, listen, I need you to do something and not ask questions.
It was my turn to pace, not only needing to deal with the possibility of Tia's pregnancy, but that Roman was probably starting to wonder where I was. This was the longest bathroom break in history.
Lo, this isn't the call where you ask me to hide a body or something.
Morgan laughed. I know we took that blood oath, but I'm out of scrubs until I do laundry.
No, you don't need to hide a body.
Though it might have been easier than smuggling a pregnancy test into a movie star's wedding with the amount of security and people walking around.
I need you to get me a pregnancy test. Actually, get a couple just to be sure. And I'm going to need you to bring them to me.
You're pregnant?
My usually cool and calm sister almost screamed into the phone.
No, it's not for me, I said, quickly dismissing her fears of her younger sister being knocked up. But I can't tell you much more other than ask you to trust me and not tell anyone about it.
Lo, it's a pregnancy test. I'm not going down to the corner and buying a dime bag. No one is going to question me.
Well, at least we had that going for us. I gave her some last-minute instructions and the address. Then I told her to call me when she got to the gate and I would work out a way to get her inside. And, like an absolute rock star, she didn't ask me whose house it was, or why she just couldn't walk up to the front door. Instead, she promised to see me soon and with a variety of pregnancy testing items and ended the call. My cell promptly rang the minute we'd hung up.
Hello? I tried to sound surprised, casual, even though I had seen from the caller ID it was Roman.
Did you leave? He asked, not bothering with the greeting. Where the hell did you go?
Hey, Roman. I hoped he hadn't decided to search the house and was standing outside the door. I had a client call me and it was an emergency. I had to take it. I'm just dealing with it now.
What client? He asked, because he couldn't just take my word for it and mind his own business.
I shook my head and said the first name that came to mind. Chase Anderson.
Shit. What the fuck does that asshole want? He growled into the phone. You're vetting an acquisition, not his personal counsel. Tell him to call Daniel or Carter if he needs fucking legal advice.
I hated lying to him, and hated even more that the one name I had picked was the client he'd been telling me to dump. Why hadn't I said someone else, anyone else? Not that I could do much now, my stupid mouth committing me to my bogus excuse. I am not going to tell a client to call a partner when I can deal with it myself, and who are you to tell me otherwise? For the first time ever, I didn't want to argue with him. I wanted to just tell him that it was something I needed to deal with and I would see him soon. But I couldn't. I had given Tia my word, and even though I knew that regardless of the result of the pregnancy test, everything would work out, my word was my word. I wouldn't break it, even if it meant a little personal hardship.
Lauren, I know we both get off on the argument, but he has no business with you, he huffed into the phone. So if he is calling you, it's for other reasons and not because of your amazing legal mind.
Just let it go, Roman. I silently begged him to just drop it. I'll be back in a few minutes and we can enjoy the rest of the wedding.
So what does he want?
I held my breath, wondering if he could tell I was full of shit. Roman, you know I can't tell you that.
He barked out a humorless laugh. Bullshit. We work for the same firm. It's called authorized disclosure.
I was grasping at straws, digging myself into a hole I wasn't easily going to be able to climb out of. Chase Anderson instructed that this particular information be confided to specified lawyers, so authorized disclosure doesn't extend to you in this case. His voice dropped to almost a growl.
Why would he do that?
I don't know, Roman. I shrugged, wondering if it was just male posturing or he had a reason for giving me a hard time. Why does anyone do anything? Because they can. I'll be back soon. I hung up before he could argue.
My phone promptly lit up again, Roman's name flashing across the screen, but I ignored it and switched my phone to silent while I waited for Morgan to arrive. I had debated going back to the party until she got there, but decided it would just invite more questions. Roman would no doubt give me the third degree, pissed I'd hung up on him and ignored his calls, only to have him grill me further when I had to take another call when she arrived. So instead, I decided to sit up in what I assumed was a guest bedroom to avoid any further questions until my sister got there. I'd deal with whatever mood Roman was in later. Hopefully he'd have cooled down by then. It seemed like forever before Morgan messaged me. She'd been denied entry, unsurprisingly, and waved on by security that hadn't been there initially but was now attending the gate. She was waiting for me outside, loitering in front of one of the neighbor's properties. Short of dressing her in a police outfit and falsifying a warrant, sneaking Morgan in would be impossible. So instead, I was going to have to go out, without being seen by Roman or anyone else who would ask questions, get the loot, and bring it back inside. Oh, and then find the bride and get her to discreetly pee on the stick so we could see if she was with child. No sweat, right?
Ugh. I cracked open the door, checking the coast was clear before I stepped out. My eyes darted left and right as I descended the stairs and walked in the direction I vaguely remembered led to the front door. Turns out I knew the layout of the house better than I first thought, finding my way easily. And after assuring the scary-looking man at the door that I was just stepping out for a few minutes and would be right back, it would suck if an overzealous security guard denied me re-entry. I slipped out and walked down the driveway to the front gate. It had been easier when the trip had been in a car and not in stilettos. Morgan, I whispered in the dark, my heels sinking into the dirt as I wandered to where her car was conspicuously idling. She would have sucked as a wheelman. Roman's brother lives there? Morgan pointed to the gate where she'd been denied entry. What the hell does he do? I leaned against the car door, my hand reaching through the open driver's side window. Drug dealer. I'm just as shocked as you are, but we can't choose our family. She shook her head, tossing me a bag, the exchange looking more suspicious by the second.
Here you go. There are a couple of different ones in there. Call me if you need anything else.
Thanks, Morgan. I really appreciate this. I clutched the bag to my chest, thankful I had the greatest sister known to man. I owe you one.
Meh, you're fine, she shrugged. I know you pretend to be a badass, Lo, but you have a good heart. You would have done the same for me.
It seemed to be the night for pesky emotions, the words getting stuck in my throat as I nodded.
I need to go. I'll call you later.
She waved, driving off as I returned to Eric's front gate and further ruining the shoes I was wearing. Strangely, I didn't care, shrugging it off as I passed the disgruntled man at the door again and made my way back into the house. So far, so good, and other than the security, who was eyeing me suspiciously, I hadn't caught anyone else's attention. As I got closer to the backyard, I was able to see Roman. He was sitting at a table, clutching his phone so tight I was surprised the thing hadn't been reduced to dust. He had called me a few times, but I hadn't answered, and I could tell that when I finally did talk to him, it was going to be heated. Still, I had bigger issues right now, like how I was going to get the bride's attention so she could take the test while her new husband and invited guests remained none the wiser.
Did you get it?
I turned around, finding Leela creeping up behind me. I nodded, my chin tipping to the white bag I was hiding behind my purse.
Can you get her back upstairs without anyone noticing?
Yeah, I can manage that. She smirked, both of us gazing out at Tia, who was currently wrapped in her husband's arms.
Roman is going to be a problem, though. He's been looking for you.
I'll take care of Roman as soon as we're done with this. Not sure how I was going to do that exactly, but I'd work it out. I'm going to go upstairs to wait for you. If they see the three of us going up there together, it will look suspicious.
Leela agreed, walking out to the backyard while I followed my earlier path and found the bedroom I had been in before.
I opened the door to the connecting bathroom and quickly read through the instructions. I doubted peeing on a stick was a complicated venture, but it was better to cover all our bases and not make a stupid mistake like peeing on the wrong end. It didn't take long before Leela and Tia came in, finding me in the bathroom.
We've got like 20 minutes, tops.
Tia glanced at the door like she was expecting someone to walk through.
I really appreciate you doing this for me, Lauren.
Hey, what are lawyers for? I nodded to the sticks on the bathroom counter. Pee here, and then recap it. There are two windows, one so we know the test worked, and one for the result. The one with a blue cap is an early detection test, so do them both. We'll know in a couple of minutes either way.
She looked nervously at the tests, taking a deep breath as we cleared out of the room to give her some privacy.
Did your sister ask questions?
Leela sat on the bed as we waited.
I shook my head. We took a blood oath. Anytime one of us needs something, we call. No questions asked.
Tia and I have a similar arrangement, she laughed. It's only recently that I've relaxed when I see her number come up on my phone. I never had a sister.
It's done. Tia exited the bathroom, wiping her hands on a small towel.
Now we wait.
She joined Leela on the bed.
How's the nausea? I asked, noticing her color had come back.
That had to be a good sign.
She shrugged. Okay, I guess. I didn't eat much dinner, so there's not a lot to come up.
Her hand flew to her mouth.
Oh, shit. You missed the main course.
It's fine. This was more important, I reassured her, not feeling very hungry anyway. We sat in silence, the minutes ticking unnaturally slow while we waited. I could feel the tension in the air, but no one felt the need to talk. It wasn't the sort of thing that required conversation, and we were well past the point of making small talk.
I pulled out my phone and glanced at the time.
I think we can look now. Do you want me to leave, or would you like me to stay? I asked, realizing she might not want to share the moment with someone she barely knew.
Stay.
She stood up and gave Leela's hand a squeeze.
You've gone to all this trouble to help me. The least I can do is allow you to share in the result.
Slowly she walked into the bathroom, picking up the first test while Leela and I waited at the door.
Oh, thank God.
Her knees gave way under her as she sat on the toilet.
It's negative.
See? Nothing to worry about. The nausea is probably stress, or maybe it really is the stomach flu. I'd still check in with a doctor in the next few days just to be sure, and maybe get him to run a blood test to rule out anything else funky going on. These tests are pretty accurate, right? She looked at the other test, which was also negative. I'm not going to find out in a couple of weeks that I was knocked up and got faked out by Clear Blue, am I? I read the instructions. I pointed to the folded-up piece of paper with lines of tiny writing I was positive almost nobody read. Even if your cycle was slightly off, at 2 weeks there would be enough of the pregnancy hormone for the test to detect. Especially the early one. False negatives are rare, and I think in this case, we can safely rule it out. Okay. Okay. Tia visibly relaxed. So, it was a false alarm. I bagged up the used test, disposing of the evidence. I'd say the stress of the wedding, arguing about the prenup, knowing that Eric is going away soon to a remote location, all contributed. But it's fine now. You should get back to the wedding, though, before anyone starts asking questions. I'll get rid of this. After all, the last thing she needed was someone walking in and finding a pregnancy test in the trash. I'll tell Eric, she assured me, just obviously not tonight. I mean, there is no reason to say anything right now, considering it was a false alarm, right? Tia, it's your business, and it's not my place to judge you either way. I checked the bench, making sure nothing had slipped my attention and it was clear of any pregnancy testing equipment and/or packaging. I think he will understand your panic, but if you want to just forget the whole thing, then that's your right, too.
I think you should tell him, Tia, Lila weighed in.
Just wait until your Italian honeymoon. He'll be relaxed, soaking up the sun, and you guys can just talk. Agreed, Tia nodded, before reaching out and giving my hand a squeeze. Lauren, I know I said this before, but I really appreciate this. Organizing the tests, not saying anything. It was a lot to ask. It's fine, I squeezed back. Now go back and enjoy your wedding. She nodded, both of them leaving me to head back to the party. Meanwhile, I had to think up what the hell I was going to tell Roman. It had been an hour, at least, maybe closer to two, I couldn't be sure. The appetizer and main course had already been served, and he'd been sitting there alone while I was ignoring his calls. He was going to be furious. That wasn't even taking into consideration the reason I initially gave him for disappearing was to assist a client he'd convinced himself had ulterior motives. Taking a deep breath and grabbing the stash of smuggled goods, I left the bathroom, cursing my purse wasn't big enough to hide the evidence as I descended down the stairs.
Lose your way?
Roman was standing there, waiting with his arms folded tightly across his chest. Hey, someone was in the other bathroom, and one of the waiters told me there was one upstairs. I tried to keep my voice neutral, doing my best to camouflage my bag of contraband. His eyebrow rose, seeming unreasonably calm.
Well, I'm glad for you. I, on the other hand, have been sitting beside an empty chair, wondering why I bothered to bring a date at all.
He didn't yell, didn't raise his voice either, but I could tell he was furious. Roman, he held his hand up, not giving me a chance to explain.
Do you know how many times someone asked me where you were? Or one of my brothers gave me shit about you coming to your senses and leaving?
I opened my mouth and tried again. I'm sorry. I just had something I needed to take care of.
Bullshit. He moved closer. Unless Chase Anderson was in jail or his business was suddenly involved in a hostile takeover, there was no reason to take his call. But whatever. He waved his hand dismissively. You can't tell me. I'm not in the loop.
You have to trust me. I met his eyes, hoping he would see that I was sincere.
Trust you? He threw his head back and laughed. You know how many women I have introduced to my family? How many times I've brought a date home? And the one fucking time I thought it was a good idea, because I stupidly believed we were cool, you embarrassed me. Fuck that, Harper. Fuck that and fuck whatever you had to do.
Roman?
Don't fucking Roman me either.
He leaned in, his lip curling into a sneer.
I'm giving you one chance to tell me exactly what was so important that you left me to sit there looking like a fucking chump, and I want the truth.
I had no idea what to say, what I could possibly tell him that would make it better. But I knew the truth wasn't it. It didn't matter that Tia ended up not being pregnant. It wasn't my news to share, especially not with a man who was acting so hostile even if he felt he was justified. You are obviously upset, and I get it. It had been the last thing I wanted to do. I am sorry that I had to step away, and I'm sorry because of that you were embarrassed or hurt. I reached out to his arm, needing to touch him, and by some miracle he didn't pull away. Please know that the only reason I was gone was because it was important.
It was at that moment that the stupid CVS bag I'd been clutching dropped to the floor. The contents spilled out at our feet.
What the fuck?
He bent down and grabbed it before I had a chance.
Why the hell do you have a pregnancy test?
Crap. However bad I'd thought it had been, it got so much worse. I scooped what was left on the floor, bundling it back in the bag without answering him, unsure of what I was going to say.
Is this yours?
He waved the wand in the air in front of me, not giving me a chance to answer before continuing.
Why the hell am I even asking you? Of course it's yours. Why else would you have it?
It's not what it looks like. Even though that statement was 100% true, it was the exact same statement someone said when they were guilty. As lawyers, we'd heard it 1,000 times, and almost always it was exactly what it looked like.
Well, at least it's negative.
He tilted the test to the side before holding it out for me.
Must be a relief for you and whoever you thought impregnated you. We both know it couldn't have been me.
How dare you? I snatched the test from his hand and stuffed it in the bag with the others. He could be as mad as he wanted, but it didn't give him permission to assume the worst about me and talk to me like I was nothing.
How dare I?
His eyes widened in disbelief as he stood over me.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? If it pleases the court, allow me to build the scenario for you. You agree to come with me to my brother's wedding and then mysteriously disappear. Suspecting you are carrying some other sucker's kid, the guilt tears you up inside so much that you decide you can't wait a second longer and take the fucking test. Why you didn't do it at home is beyond me, but I haven't had time to get to a motive just yet. Then you find out it's negative, and you miraculously reappear. What I want to know, Harper, is two things. First, why the sudden phone call with Chase Anderson and the appearance of a pregnancy test? And if that thing was positive, were you going to play me for a moron and pretend it was mine?
Are you serious? My eyes almost bulged out of my head. You do realize that you are not only challenging my character, but my professional standing.
I'm only analyzing the evidence I have in front of me, he responded coolly, and wondering what those billable hours were used for.
You make me sick. My fist tightened either side of me as my body shook. How dare you call into question my integrity? I wanted to scream, to claw his eyes out, but I also wanted to cry. That he could assume the worst in me so easily was horrifying.
Deflection isn't a defense, sweetheart.
The words bit out through his clenched jaw.
Surely you know better.
That's enough. I pushed him to the side, not willing to have him draw multiple incorrect conclusions and paint me as an evil and manipulative bitch. Not to mention a whore who slept with clients, because obviously it was what was between my legs that had gotten me my law degree. You can be mad that I left and not be a heartless, offensive asshole. You disgust me, that you would sink so freaking low. Unlike you, the last thing I wanted was to hurt you. He threw his head back, the laugh echoing down the empty hall.
For me to be hurt, I'd have to care about you, which I don't.
A knife through my heart would have hurt less. Each one of his words stung more than the last as everything he said to me echoed in my mind. The things he thought, the things he believed, that he'd been so easily convinced. I couldn't believe that less than a few hours ago I believed I was in love with him. Thank God I hadn't said anything, saving myself from even further hurt. And how funny he would have found it. Well, then. I kicked up my chin, not willing to subject myself to him and his cruelty any longer. You enjoy being an evil bastard. I hope that works out for you. But I am going to go now, because I don't deserve your shit, or have to listen to your vicious and inaccurate lies. So long, you horrible asshole. I tossed him a wave as I marched down the hall to the front door. I was so mad and hurt and... ugh, it was like every human emotion I had turned on simultaneously and was jostling for dominance. Screw him. Screw love and relationships and everything else. I stormed out of the house, and thank God he didn't follow.
I wasn't sure I would have been able to restrain myself and not beat him to death with the bag of pregnancy tests that weren't mine. Too many witnesses, the security giving me suspicious glances as I power-walked down the driveway would have been the first ones to turn me in. My feet kept moving, and by some miracle I remained upright as I navigated the long stretch of concrete in heels until I reached the gate. Hitting the button on the side, the large metal monstrosity slid open, allowing me my freedom. I didn't bother turning around, just kept walking as my shoes sunk into the grass. The pumps were already ruined anyway, and I made my way further up the road that had no sidewalk. I guess people around there didn't do a lot of walking. I didn't expect to see a cab coming cruising by either. As I pulled out my phone to once again call my sister, I decided I hated Beverly Hills. I hated weddings, too. My shoes and my stupid outfit. But of all the things I hated, the thing that had the number one position was Roman. So much hate. Hello? Morgan's voice sounded funny when she answered the phone, and I hoped she wasn't sleeping. Morgan? Her name, the only thing I was able to say before a sob tore at my throat. I need you to come get me. I'll be right there, Lo. She didn't ask questions as I heard rustling in the background. I'm putting on my shoes right now. Just hang on, okay? Okay. I nodded under the security light of some other rich person I probably hated, too. Thank you. After giving her instructions on where to find me, I ended the call and stood on the side of the road waiting. Even though I didn't want to see Roman, I half expected him to come looking, possibly having a moment of behaving like a regular human and being concerned about whether I had a way to get home or if I was safe. But that was just me being delusional again, because he'd told me exactly how much he didn't care about me. What an idiot. Me, not him. He was something else, all of which were horrible with a string of curse words attached. But I had been the idiot. It felt like forever before I finally saw my sister's car, the headlights making me so relieved I almost cried. Did he hurt you? She gripped the steering wheel tight as I hopped into the passenger seat. Because if he hurt you, Lo, I will hurt him. Not physically. My head shook as I kicked off my ruined pumps. Please. Just take me home. I could tell she didn't want to, that she wanted to turn her Subaru Forester around, ram the damn gate, and then possibly run over Roman. Morgan was the least violent person I knew. She saw the horrors of it at her work and actively tried to save people even if they didn't deserve it. She was a much better person than I was. But you hurt her family, and she turned into Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. Okay, let's get you home. She didn't ask any more questions and just drove until we got to our apartment. I didn't even cry, my brain and body too numb to even know what to feel. The worst part of it all was the loss I felt. Roman and I, for whatever reason, worked. Or at least, we had. And I never in a million years would have thought he could have been so horrible and cruel. Arrogant, cocky, bossy, annoying, sure, but not downright mean. I guess I didn't know him as well as I thought I did. Things had been a lot easier when the only thing I felt was dislike and hate. I needed to go back to that.
Chapter 22. Okay, so I didn't pressure you yesterday, but now... You need to talk to me. Morgan sat down on my bed where I had been curled up under my comforter since getting home last night. There had been a shower in between, but I hadn't eaten, something my stomach was reminding me of this morning as it growled in protest. I flopped over onto my back with little enthusiasm for actually getting out of bed. But she was right about me needing to talk to her. I needed to tell someone, if for no other reason than so I could get it straight in my own head.
I was starting to have feelings for him. I groaned, covering my face with my hands. Not just we're having sex feelings, like maybe it could be more feelings.
You think I didn't know that? She yanked at my hands, giving me a warm smile. Lo, you might think you're pretty smooth, but you're my sister, and I know you. Besides, you haven't dated anyone for longer than 2 dates in what,
a year or more? It was pretty obvious it was more than just sex. I shook my head, wondering if I had genuinely been blind or just stupid. It wasn't obvious to me. It just grew into more, and what's worse is that I didn't realize how much I'd really wanted it.
So, did you tell him and he didn't feel the same way? And why the hell did you need a pregnancy test? I get the feeling the two are somehow connected.
Morgan was right. Ironically, they were. So I started to recount the whole tale of how I went from realizing I was falling in love with Roman to throwing up in the bathroom to running into the bride who suspected she was in the family way. I left out names, Morgan not knowing that Eric Larson was Roman's brother and the groom, and Tia Larson was the possibly knocked-up bride. It wasn't because I was worried about her saying anything. It just didn't change the situation, regardless of who they were. So, the bride was worried that an unplanned pregnancy would possibly screw up her new husband's job offer, the possibility of a future Oscar left unmentioned, and so I'd offered to help. My involvement kept me away from Roman, which prompted a stupid lie about Chase Anderson, followed by the spectacular finale of him finding the pregnancy test and assuming it was mine. "Where does he live?" she demanded, rising off the mattress with a face full of fury. "Tell me exactly where to find him. How dare he assume anything about you? And even if you were pregnant, he wasn't exactly sitting at home playing Magic the Gathering before you two got together. He's probably been involved in a few pregnancy tests of his own."
Ugh. Funnily enough, hearing about Roman and his past didn't make me feel better. When he was with me, his past didn't matter. Neither did mine. We only cared about what was in front of us.
"It doesn't matter anymore." I tried like hell to find the silver lining. At least I found out how horrible he was before I spilled my guts and made a fool out of myself. It could have been so much worse. I wasn't sure if I believed that. It didn't feel like it could get more painful than it already felt. And to make matters more horrible, I was going to have to see him tomorrow when I went back to work. That was why office dating was frowned upon. Because only an idiot would believe you could go back to be friendly after an asshole had crushed your heart. In this case, I was the idiot. I'm sure he didn't care. He was probably looking forward to it, thinking up new ways to torment me. It would be like old times, only 1,000 times worse, because unlike before, I knew he could be sweet and loving and be so goddamn kind.
"He can't honestly believe you would have slept with a client, Lauren." My sister tugged on my arm, shaking her head. "He has to know that you would never..."
"He clearly knows nothing." A breath hitched my chest tight. "And it doesn't matter if he believes it. He freaking said it. Out loud. To my face. He said it like it could be a possibility, like I would ever use my body like that. It was more than just hurtful. It was malicious. And if he doesn't believe it and said it anyway, then that's almost worse."
Morgan nodded, her hand rubbing against the length of my arm.
"I know, and you deserved better. He is going to have to live with that, having said those words to you. And even though he backed you into a corner, you took the high road. I'm so proud of you."
Her hand squeezed. "You have more integrity in your little finger than most people do in their whole body."
"I can't believe I have to see him tomorrow," I groaned, fantasizing about getting a doctor's note excusing me from work.
As tempting as it was, I'd already faked being sick to avoid him once, and I wasn't doing that again.
"I know it feels horrible, Lo," Morgan gently rubbed my back, "but I promise you, you are stronger than you think. You will go back in there tomorrow and you are going to kick ass, because you are one of the best damn lawyers the firm has ever seen, and he doesn't get to take that away from you. Not him and his narrow-minded macho bullshit. You did the right thing, and someday he is going to regret walking away from the best damn woman that he's ever met."
A soft laugh escaped my lips.
"You're my sister. You have to think I'm awesome. But the best damn woman he's ever met is a pretty big call."
Right then, I would have settled for being someone he didn't hate and who he didn't want to hurt. I was pretty sure I was so far from the top of his list I'd barely get a mention.
"For someone so smart, Lo, you can act super dumb."
She shoved my shoulder gently.
"He might have said all that other stuff, but he was in love with you too, or starting to be. Why else would he have taken you to his brother's wedding? The ride on the bike?
That isn't stuff you just do to get a woman into bed. After all, you guys were already sleeping together, right? Her words didn't give me comfort, possibly just confusing me more. Is that you being kind and telling me I was a sure thing? You were